Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Two Weird Hungry Girls podcast. I'm Phoebe, and I'm here with my co-host, Tracy.
Hello.
Tracy, I'm very curious.
You always are.
I am. About, like, what's going on in your kitchen.
In my kitchen right now.
Mm-hmm.
I got to think about this.
Do you bring, like, vegetables or fruits in and freeze them?
Sometimes freeze things. But I'm not very good at that. Actually, Michael's a good freezer, and I like to can things.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
What's, like, one of the favorite things that you like to can?
Well, honestly, okay. Well, see, I sound like I'm a big, like, ooh, I'm a big canner. I'm not, but I have all the equipment because I was really into it for a bit. But making different jams was my favorite thing, and I would go, you know, nuts for a day and just, you know, cook it, can it. And then I would have to take pictures because it was so pretty.
Did you do it as gifts for the holidays, or did you do this for your family at home?
Both.
Okay.
Both, yes. Yeah, and I know my sister-in-law, she also does a lot of that. She has a humongous garden, so she and she has the know-how. Like, she does preserve more than just jams. I wanted to do cherries one time. And peaches one time, but I just was stuck on the jam.
Mm-hmm. So you did a lot of jam canning.
I did, and then I thought, oh my God, that's all I can do. And then I just threw my hands up in the air and said, I've reached my pinnacle, and that's it. And so...
And that was it.
Yeah, that was it. That was it, sadly.
You know, a lot of people will do canning, and they start it because they're excited that their grandmother did it or their mother did it, and they buy all of the equipment, and they do it for one summer, and they're like... Heck no. Too hot in the kitchen. I'm never doing it again.
I like all of that. I liked all the heat. I didn't mind that. And I liked submerging everything. And then I like, you know, the timing. And then you take it out and I like hearing the little pops and stuff. Yeah. But for whatever reason, I just, I think when I would undertake this whole thing, it was like, I had to have 5 pounds of strawberries, and I had to have that, like, I had to go pick them somewhere. It wasn't enough to just go buy stuff at the store. I had to go all in, which was a little bit crazy. So I think I bit off more than I needed to. And even though I went with it for a little bit and I really did have fun with it, I created a monster in my head about getting involved. With that. So it didn't last very long, but when it did, I really enjoyed it.
Oh my goodness. I bet that is the story that our special guests hear all the time about canning.
We have a special guest.
We do have a special guest.
I'm so excited.
You thought it was just you and I. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Talking about canning. But I have a very special guest, and I know you're going to love her.
Yes.
We have Marisa McClellan. She's a blogger. An author, and she's a canning teacher. I think she does private classes. Well, she might. We'll find out. She's based out of her 80-square-foot Center City, Philadelphia apartment, and she makes... Yes.
80 square feet?
And she makes amazing recipes, which I hope we get to a lot of them. I'm sure we will. But she's the author of Food in Jars.
Food in Jars!
Yes. Preserving the Pint.
Sorry.
Naturally Sweet Food in Jars is her most recent cookbook.
Ooh, I want to talk about that.
Yes. So, Marisa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's a delight to be here.
I'm so excited.
I think Tracy is very interested in the fact that you are doing so much work out of your small 80-foot square foot kitchen.
Yeah, help me out.
Yes.
Because I'm terrible with spatial relationships. So 80 square feet is like how big? Is that like bigger than... Is that bigger than a minivan?
I would say that my kitchen is probably about the size of a minivan, if not a little bit smaller. Think about like a good size walk-in closet, and you'll have a pretty good idea of the size.
Right.
Yeah, it is a kitchen that works really hard and serves me well, and it's a galley kitchen, so it's laid out really efficiently. You know, I have 2 walls of countertop, so it is better than it could be. It really does do. A lot. And I feel really grateful to have it, even though I sometimes fantasize about having a giant kitchen with yards and yards of counter space, but it works.
Awesome.
I can do just about anything in there. And I always tell people, you know, if I can do it in my little kitchen, anybody can do what I do.
So everything that you do with food in jars comes out of that little kitchen.
Absolutely.
How do you shop seasonal?
Yeah. Living in the city, we are so lucky to have a ton of farmers markets. I live two blocks from Rittenhouse Square here in Center City, Philadelphia, and there is a year-round farmers market there on Saturdays. This time of year, it's like from 9:30 to 3. The hours are a little shorter in the winter, but I can go over there and get all manner of wonderful in-season local produce. They've got meat, there's seafood, baked goods. It's really a very full-service market. So I've got that. When I miss that, I can always go to Reading Terminal Market. On Sundays, there's a farmer's market called Head House Square, which is amazing. And then there's lots of other places around the city to get local produce. And then some days when I want to have that sort of rural experience, I'll drive out to New Jersey and pick blueberries or peaches or raspberries, whatever is in season right then. So I am not hurting for produce.
Do you think it's important when you're doing canning to buy in season versus grabbing cherries when you see them out of season, I don't know, in the winter? Does it make a difference in the flavor?
I think it makes a difference in the flavor, and it also makes a difference in affordability, because, you know, I get a question a lot from people about, does canning really save you money? And my response is always, it can, but you have to do it thoughtfully. And one of the ways that a thoughtful preserver saves money is that they buy when something is in season, when it's abundant. And so, you know, it's that sort of buy low, sell high mentality, that you're going to buy the produce when it's in season and it's at its most affordable. And then the sell high part is then you get to eat it and enjoy it when it's no longer in season, when it's precious.
How do you take the fear out of canning? Like, Tracy has been there and has done it and has invested in all of this equipment. So she's done it before. Some people aren't in that place, and they're afraid of that cost of investment of equipment and time. And, you know, when you invest in seasonal fruit and a recipe doesn't work out, sometimes you become discouraged. How do you take the fear out of canning?
Yeah, a lot of people are scared. What they're really afraid of, for the most part, when I talk to people, they're afraid that they're going to make something and tuck it away in their pantry or their basement, and they are going to be cultivating a home for botulism, and that they'll develop this deadly neurotoxin, you know, in their pantry, and that they'll share their home preserved foods with friends and family, and that 2 weeks later they won't have any friends and family left. Like, that's the big fear, you know, that you're going to wipe out the neighborhood. And the thing to know about that is that botulism cannot grow, cannot develop in high acid foods, and the foods, the preserves that we can in a boiling water bath canner, if you're following a tested recipe or using a recipe from a reliable source, those recipes are going to be high in acid. The recipe writer will have done that, sort of been aware and conscious of the acid content, and they're going to create recipes for you that are safe to can in that boiling water bath that are going to be high in acid. So, you know, all of our jams, they are very high in acid because fruit naturally has a high acidic content. Yeah. So I just made apricot jam today, and it was a 2-ingredient jam. It was apricots and sugar, and I knew that that was safe because those apricots are very high in acid. And the way we know that something is high in acid is by its pH. So, you know, if you have a scientific bent, you can know that as long as a food has a pH of 4.6 or below, then it's considered high in acid. And there are pH charts on the internet that you can go and look up sort of the average pHs of different fruits and vegetables and go, ah, yes, this one, it's high in acid. I can safely can that in a boiling water bath canner. Because when we're talking about botulism, what we're really concerned with as canners are the spores which exist in our soil. And they are completely inert until you do a few things to them. You trap them in an oxygen-free environment. You store that oxygen-free environment at room temperature. And that oxygen-free environment is very low in acid. And so anytime we can something, we are intentionally designing a jar, a vessel that will be oxygen free, because that's one of the ways that we preserve it, by venting out the oxygen during that boiling water bath canning process. And we are designing it to store at room temperature, because that's the whole point. You want to get these things out of your refrigerator and out of your freezer and onto the shelf. But as long as you've got a lot of acid in there, it acts as an inhibitor, and you'll never, ever have botulism growth. You know, things can go wrong. You can have mold, but it's never – nothing that can kill you will happen as long as you have a lot of acid in your jars.
That's good.
That's good to know.
That is good. Yes. I mean,
But the key then is to use really trusted recipes, because I'm not going to go and buy pH test strips. You're probably not either, Tracy. That's too much to remember.
No. Yeah.
So use trusted recipes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't actually advise people to go out and get pH test strips. Yeah. You really just want to use recipes from sources that you trust, whether it's, you know, a cookbook from Ball, or it's one of my cookbooks, or it's the National Center for Home Food Preservation. Most of the people who are writing canning cookbooks out there are very aware of the safety implications and requirements to be safe. So, you know, you don't find a lot of recipe writers out there. You know, it's not a good idea for a cookbook author to kill off their audience because they're not going to be real successful. So you work real hard to make sure that, you know, you write a book that where the recipes are going
to
be safe.
Consider. Yes.
Do you have any favorite recipes in particular? So if someone picks up the book, I love that the newest cookbook, the Naturally Sweet Food in Jars, gives options for people who are really concerned about sugar, which is sometimes something that prevents people from starting to do preserving. Are there favorite recipes that you have? I think I saw something about a watermelon and a beet ketchup.
Yes. I mean, I love everything in that book, but there's a watermelon jelly sweetened with agave syrup, agave nectar, that's really delicious. And what's nice about it is that I use a product called Pomona's Pectin to get a set. And it requires fairly short cooking times, so you don't lose the flavor. And so with that watermelon jelly, it really just tastes like the essence of watermelon, so I love that one. I mean, apricots are in season right now. There's a recipe in the book for a honey-sweetened roasted apricot jam that is so good because the edges of the apricots caramelize a little bit in the oven, and the honey gets sort of syrupy and... the whole thing, you just kind of mash it up and put it in jars, and it's so
amazing.
Good.
How do you bring, when you talk about things like watermelon, a lot of times people will put it in the kitchen, and you can use it for smoothies, for drinks, for summer. I wouldn't think to use it. I mean, watermelon rind is traditionally in a lot of canned recipes.
Yeah.
So when you have foods like that in the kitchen, and you have children that are sometimes eating all of these fruits and vegetables, like blueberries by the handful or watermelon, how can you get children interested in cooking and canning in the kitchen with you? Do you have any tips on that?
I just think anytime kids are involved in the process, they develop a sense of ownership about whatever's being made, and they will want to eat it. They will want to try it. They want to participate in the process. I don't have any kids myself, but I have a 5-year-old nephew and a 2-year-old nephew, and I visit them a lot and we cook together. And it's amazing what my older nephew will eat that he wouldn't touch, but if he had a role in playing in cooking it, he's going to be all about it. And the same goes with canning. And so that even though you certainly don't want kids around like a big boiling water bath canner, there's a lot that they can do in terms of helping prep the food, in terms of like, perhaps once the jars are filled, you can, if they're older, they can wipe the rims for you. Watching the clock, that's always a good activity for kids to say, okay, so we're going to set this for 10 minutes. It needs to boil. So first we need to watch for the steam. Yeah. Can you tell me when the steam starts to come out of the pot? Okay, great. You know, and then talk about the timing. And so there are just a lot of ways that they can be a participant. You know, as a kid, I canned with my mom, and we made blueberry jam every year. And my favorite thing was to help crush the berries, because I'd get my hands in there and squeeze those blueberries. And it's very tactile, and you get to make a mess, and it's fun, and you're helping.
As you're describing this, I'm completely picturing all of that. When I was doing my little jams or whatever, my kids were much smaller, but now I kind of have this idea that would be really cool to let my older son is really into cooking, and this would be just another avenue for him.
Yeah, and home preserves make really great teacher gifts, and so if the kids had a role in helping make them, they're going to be so excited to give them to their teachers,
teacher
for the holidays
friend
or something.
Won't really take anything homemade.
Oh, she doesn't.
Well, she's a little wary, but that's one of the things I did with mine. I have to show you a picture because I made them so pretty. I made them all crafty. But
we'll have to put them on the blog post for this episode. So I think what you do, Marisa, with your book is you kind of take out the fear of canning, because they're traditional recipes or recipes that can be trusted. And it sounds like what you do is you break it down so people don't feel like they need to buy 20 pounds mm-hmm. of fruit, that you can just do literally a few jars at a time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we don't live on the farm anymore for the most part. People don't need to can to get through the winter. They just need to can because they want to. And so it's not about making vast quarts and quarts. It's really, for me, about just making, you know, a few jars, something to give, something to keep, and really breaking it down. In my second book, Preserving by the Pint, every recipe in that book starts with just like a pint or a quart or a pound or two of produce, so that you can be in and out of those recipes in less than an hour and still have the satisfaction of having made something.
That part is perfect.
Wonderful. So, Marisa, how can people find you online?
I am at foodandjars.com, on Instagram, on Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook. I'm all Food and Jars. So Facebook is foodandjars.com/foodandjars. You know, if you look for Food and Jars, it's going to be me. So wherever, whatever social
Those
media
so
platform
beautiful. Tracy,
you prefer.
So we can find you at foodandjars.com. And of course, links to all of those other social media outlets.
Yep.
So thank you so much for sharing your time and inspiration in the kitchen.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm just tickled that we got to talk
to you. Oh, thank you so much. This was such a pleasure.
So find Marisa again at Food and Jars. Grab one of her cookbooks. They would make a wonderful gift too, especially for someone who talks about wanting to do mm-hmm. canning but is too scared to try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And thank you so much for tuning in. And we really appreciate our listeners. Leave us some feedback. Let us know what you think, what you'd like to hear more of. And you can do that in iTunes or at phoebespurefood.com. And that's where you can find me for recipes, local eating destinations, and just fun things to do in the Lancaster and Berks County area. So thank you for tuning in. Again, thank you, Marisa and Tracy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.